Praise God. Good morning, everyone. What a special moment for me to be here in Penang again. Today, many special moments. We are as a special presence of God. Who can feel the presence of God in this place? It's a special for me. There are many specials today. A special day, not because my name is Fernando. But Jesse, I don't know if last time when I came here, I shared this. Maybe. One day I was going to preach in KL. I was going to a church, and I was going in an Uber. I don't know if I shared this last time, no. And at the end of the, I was going out, and the driver just asked, "Mister, what is your name?" And I said, "Fernando." And he said, "What? Can you say again?" "Fernando." And he said, "What kind of name is that?" And I closed the door, and I said, "You will never forget my name. There is something in the air that night, the stars so bright." See, exactly what he said. He never forgot my name, for sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a special day because Malaysia is special to me. I won't repeat my story. I came last year. But today, or every time I come to Penang is a special because it was the first time I came to Malaysia, 2004, the tsunami day. I was in Penang. And I fell in love with Malaysia and Penang. And I never stop. I already preached more than 500 times in Malaysia, and God has blessed me very, very much. So, but today there's another two special things to share. One is, I'm with my kids today. After 8 years, they came with me to Penang. Can you stand up, please? Come on. Okay. Okay. And this is Gabriel and Gabriella. And they were in 2007, they were in Penang 3 years, in Dalat School, I guess, 2 years. And another special thing is, by God's orchestrated moment, Gabriella is today birthday. My God. Praise God. So we didn't plan like to be like this, but it happened, and I'm very happy to be among you. And they are very happy after 8 years to come to Malaysia. Malaysia is lovely. You know, I was in Portugal. I'm a Portuguese. I live in Lisbon. I was born in Lisbon. I work in Lisbon in symphonic orchestra 21 years. And I never pay attention to Lisbon. And I was complaining about everything. The traffic, the everything. When I came out from Portugal many years, I found out that Lisbon is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I didn't complain anymore about the traffic there. So I want to just say this to you. Malaysia is a beautiful country. Don't take it for granted. God is doing something amazing in this country. You have 10% of born-again Christians. In Europe now, 22 countries have less than 1% born-again Christians. I really love the way today Raymond and Jeremy, they do they initiate the service. It's exactly like this. We are in the doorstep of great things happening in Penang, in Malaysia. Please believe it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I think I feel so much the presence of God, I won't control it. But I want to go to the words. I was a musician for many years. Like I guess last time I played two songs. And by the way, I have, just before I forget, I have one book. It's The Power of Knowing Him. I will share a few things about this today. And from believing to know, I can just recommend, I guess many of you already bought it last time, but if you want to buy again and to offer to someone, I believe is a great material revelation God gave me for these 30 years of being born again. And I believe it can bless your life and bless my ministry and bless someone. Amen. Hallelujah. What God put in my heart, in fact, I was a musician and I am, but my main ministry is to preach the word. And I remember when I came to Penang first time 2007 with them, with family, and I start to preach. And I was the most shy person you could ever imagine in your life, to see in your life. And when I came, my English was zero. Even today, you will see my English there. I make many mistakes. But you will understand every single word. And when I came to preach, my kids were here and they start to learn English very fast. They pick the English very fast. And when I was going to preach or sing, two times my daughter came to me. I saw they were like whisper to one another. And my daughter came to me and said, "Dad, I was so ashamed. I already told you so many times, you cannot say that word that way. Another time I was preaching, and they were talking, and she came to me and said, Dad, I cannot believe. Today in your preaching, you made 64 mistakes. Praise God. But today, I guess maybe I will make maybe 30, 20 something. Hallelujah. Praise God. I go to the preaching, and what I feel in my heart, this is a message really changed my life. And the title is not so important, but I give a title, is Recognizing the Time of God's Visitation. And this is about for the church today. I won't preach to please you. Today we need the word of God to be preached, not to please people, my friends. Let me tell you, I will go around many places every weekend. I'm booked. And I'm saying this to tell that the church in general is slipping quickly to a stage of lukewarm church. It's time to wake up. It's time for the speakers to speak the truth, my friends. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. I'm just saying that I feel the responsibility, because when I preach, it's first for me. And God was revealing to me this recognizing the time of God's visitation. Because God is always speaking to us. But today, around the world, Sunday, 2.7 billion people, supposedly they are in church like us. They call themselves Christians. But from those 2.7 billion, how many can really stand in every circumstances and say, I know my Christ, my friend? This is a big difference. This is a message for all of us, for the church today. And I will address maybe the difference between believing or knowing. Believing in something, having a religion, to be a churchgoer, or really know Christ. Just came to my mind a verse. It's in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44. Jesus was in the end of his ministry. And now a crowd was following, thousands of people were following him. And they were clapping, they were shouting, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It was a time for rejoicing, thousands of people. And Jesus was focused on something else. He never was moved by the external worship of people. He was always looking to the motives in the heart. And still today, my friend, we can go to a church and sit in the same seat for 20 years and we never know God. It's only here in the mind, my friends. People today, thousands of people, they go to church, they are in church, they are looking to the watch, they are already thinking about the sweet and sour pork at lunch. My friend, it's time to wake up. And Jesus, suddenly they were shouting, but he was not paying attention to that. And the Bible says he arrived at the hill over Jerusalem. And you know what? Jesus started to weep. Jesus crying, looking to Jerusalem. Thousands of people were saying, blessed you are the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But he is not paying attention to that. He's looking to Jerusalem and he prophesied and he said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you didn't understand. It will happen this to you. And he prophesied would happen exactly 37 years later. You will be destroyed. Because you didn't recognize the time of your visitation. Because you didn't understand your opportunity for salvation. My friend, Jesus was speaking for people who believe in God, who believe in him. But he was addressing, say, you don't know me. You are not ready to pay the price to know my heart. And you know, after all this, I never heard this from anyone. Please, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But when we go to the Bible in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, wait until, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything in your mind, in your intellect, in your wisdom. The disciples, they were the greatest team, the most qualified team in all history. They were with Jesus for 3 years and a half. But Jesus tell them, don't do anything. Wait for the power of God. Because if you go without power, you go in your mind in good ideas. Nothing happened. My friend, how many Jesus was preaching for thousands of people. How many from those thousands obeyed Jesus' instructions to wait for the power? Tell me. How many? They were waiting for the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. You know how many? 120. Come on, you need to respond to me. I don't let you sleep. I tell many times. If I see someone sleep, I always say this. If I see you sleep, I continue to preach. If I note you are sleeping, I go to you. I continue to preach. And I say, you are not sleeping, brother. Just an example. And I say, brother, what time is it? And I continue to preach. My friend, don't let. This is a crucial moment for the church, my friend. We are in that moment. And on that day, only 120 decided to pay the price to wait for 10 days for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today I will talk about the difference between believing or knowing. And I will talk about 3 points. But I want to share this. When I was in the orchestra, how did this start? The orchestra is the National Guard Symphonic Orchestra. It's the biggest in the world, 125 musicians. And when I became a Christian 30 years ago, I'm celebrating now, I was the only born-again Christian among 120 wicked musicians. Sorry, wicked maybe is a bit strong. Wicked. Wicked because the Bible called them wicked. Okay, they don't believe God. And I was very shy. They only know about me that I was a great musician. And when I play, but they never heard me say any word. It's like I was going like apologizing for being alive. I don't know if you know what it is. I just arrive in the orchestra. Hello, good morning. And I go to my place, trying to be unnoticed. And now I become a Christian. And now I ask God, God, give me boldness. Give me my tongue back. I want to preach the truth. And God start to give me opportunities. It's a long story. I need to make it short. And suddenly I'm having opportunities. And when we have an opportunity, what I will speak today, I will teaching today, don't miss the opportunity. Recognizing the time of God's visitation. And one day one friend of mine, Frank, he was fighting with me. Imagine, Gabriel, you are Frank now. And he was like, I was atheist. I didn't believe God. And he was atheist, didn't believe God. But now I know God is real. And I was like fighting with him and almost on top of him. Frank, you know what? The Bible is the truth. I can prove to you Jesus is real. And he was like, and suddenly he stopped me. And he said, Brito, stop. I cannot argue with you. Because the way you talk about God is not only like you believe in something. It's more like you know God personally. And that changed my life, my friends. It changed our attitude, our perspective of the responsibility, our purpose in life. Because we are Christians, but the only difference sometimes I see between us and the outsiders is at this hour from 10 to 12, we are in church and they are in the other side, my friend. Because we go outside from here and we tend to act exactly like the world. There's no power. There's no boldness. There's no conviction. We just go with the flow. But we are Christian. And with many people, they go to church today just in case heaven is real. I go to church, maybe the pastor said there is heaven just in case. But in our natural, normal life, we will go exactly like the world. My friend, I believe there's so much more from the Holy Spirit for the church today. You know, Jesus said once, he's not mistaken, Matthew 22, verse 14, he said, many are called, but few are. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus always make it difficult for people to follow them. We have this idea that it's like we are like doing some favor to God to go to the church. But Jesus was always checking the heart of people to see if they have the ingredients that could allow Jesus to come. He was looking to the motives and he see the attitude. And he said, no, you have the ingredients from believing. You say you believe in me, but you have the ingredient now to know the Father. I will prove this to you. John chapter 2 verse 11, Jesus, he did the first miracle in a wedding. You remember that? And the Bible says, because of the miracles, the disciples many start to believe in him. But in verse 23, 24 of the same chapter, Jesus said, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew what was in the human heart. John 6, verse 66 to 70. You know, Jesus was preaching to a crowd, to a multitude. But again, he was never impressed. I'm preaching to you. What God is looking at me is not what I dress, is not anything. He's looking in my heart. What is the reason I'm preaching? What is the motive? Is to feed my need for significance. Is to feed my ego. Jesus is looking to my motive. If what I say, I really mean it. Or I'm just trying to impress. And Jesus was speaking in John chapter 6. And the Bible says, and many, many, many followed him. But Jesus looked to the heart and he gave a very hard speech. And he said, if you don't eat my flesh, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. Well, and at that point, the Bible says, and many of them left. And when he say many, probably many, many. And you know what? Jesus came to the 12. Jesus was not with a crisis of identity. He just came to the 12 and says, Oh, do you also want to live? Do you also want to live? Jesus was never looking for crowds. You want to live? I don't mind to stay alone, but I won't water down my exigencies for discipleship. And you know what Peter said? He said, we won't go anywhere because we know. He said, we believe and we know that you are the one, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus one day, one more verse, as it comes, I will give you. Luke chapter 10, verse 22, if not mistaken. Look at this, how Jesus was never looking for crowds. He's looking for those who want to pay the price to know him. The Bible says, Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the... No one knows the Son except the... Father. No one knows the Father except the and whom the Son choose to reveal the Father. No one, my friend. Only those who have this desire to know him will know the Father. And now I go quickly for 3 points. I believe it's crucial points in our life. It's about our time, how we use our time. It's about our character and about our mind. The first point is, and I believe you will never forget these points. Forget my name, but don't forget the message. You will never forget my name now because of the Ava song. But anyway, just forget my name, but don't forget the message. The point number one is, busy or fruitful. Can you say with me, busy or fruitful? And this is very, I ask God to give me the right words because it's a very sensitive word, busy. Because we love the word busy. And we use the word busy as a, I'm busy. My friend, let me, please stay with me. Understand my heart. God never asked any one of us to be busy. God asks us to be fruitful. Come with me. I want to open a verse in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 18, 19. Being busy is the greatest trap of the enemy. Already someone prayed here about, I guess it was Pastor Raymond, about give us God a thirst to be with you, a thirst for praying, a thirst, a desire to have quality time with God. And the Bible says here that chapter 4, verse 18-19 says, it talks about four types of hearts Jesus was revealing. And the third type of heart says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the words. This is for us. My friend, we are not anymore in the first and the second category of heart. But we easily can fall in this third category. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. It does not mean that we don't believe in Jesus. It does not mean we do not love Jesus. But it says so clear, but other things occupy our mind. And we will be so busy, 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 my friends. And we have ridiculous excuses to not be, to have time with God every morning. I always say this, and I'm on the process. I'm not saying every day I can do it. It's the most difficult thing. I don't know if you agree with me. Today, the most difficult thing. And the devil will use all his weapons to stop you from have morning quality time with the Holy Spirit. The first thing I do many times, I'm doing less now. I wake up and I look for my cell phone. My excuse is I want to see what time is it. But when I pick my cell phone, I see the time. I'm still open my eyes. And I start already seeing many notifications and many is, and I start already. My friend, today, cell phones, technology became the greatest idol of history. It's not evil in itself, but it robs us the time we should spend with God to discern, to listen His voice. Today, we are becoming so busy, busy, busy that we became unfruitful. You know, in John chapter 15, only this verse in this point more. In John chapter 15, Jesus is an amazing chapter. Jesus was talking about being fruitful. And He used the words, remain in me, abide in me, 10 times in 11 verses. Related with being fruitful. If you remain, you will bear fruit. If you remain, remain in me. I want you to be fruitful. Fruits of relationship with the vine. My friends, we are not supposed to do many, many, many things. To feed our emptiness. It's like we have this emptiness. If we are not doing anything, we feel bad. My friends, be careful with our busy, busy life. We arrive at the end of our life and we have no fruits. Of relationship, fruits of relationship. Jesus on chapter 15 of John, He was not talking about doing many things. Doing many things. No. Become like Him. Become like Jesus. More time in His presence, we start to reflect. It's a reflex of Jesus' character. And then we will be sensitive to His voice. We will obey His voice. And we will do exactly what He wants us to do. And we will be at the right time doing the right thing. Who believes what I'm saying? My friend, just say amen sometimes. You didn't say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. I was the one who was shy, not you. From this point, I want to give an example. When I was in orchestra, I'm not saying these examples because I'm better than you. It just happened. But beside that, I failed many times also, like we fail in using our time. When I was there, and to reach that position of soloist in oboe is the king of woodwinds, is the most difficult instrument of all, according to Wikipedia. And when I entered to the orchestra, I was 17 years old. I was the youngest military musician ever in Portugal, and I got first place among 161 musicians. I was really good. Now I can say it's like it's not me. It's many years ago, so I was really good. And but to reach there, when we are in orchestra, we need to practice every day, and this is our responsibility. We are in the army. We know our responsibility. We don't need anyone to tell us what to do. The question is, when I need to play solo, I cannot fail. And I became a Christian. Now I become a Christian. And God started to switch the priorities in my heart. Before, music was like everything. It was my goal, was my life. I love still music, but was everything. But now through every month, the time passed by and I'm serving God. I'm in the worship team. I was worship leader. I go to Bible study. I become a pastor. But before that, God started to move, and I don't want to go home. I have the rehearsal in the orchestra, but when I go home half afternoon, I don't want to spend more 3 hours practicing. I want to go to the Bible. I want to know more. That's the kind of desire. And one day I told God, God, I pray this. I leave the oboe in the orchestra morning. I only practice that 2 hours of rehearsal. But when I go home, I don't take the oboe. I will put you first. But when I play solo, be with me. I don't want to fail. And I start to do that. But when my teacher, he was a legend in oboe, was the greatest oboe player ever in Portugal. Every time he plays, it's like goosebumps. Everyone like stopped to listen to him. And I was with him 10 years. But it was a very anti-God person. And I was his best student. And now he discovered that I don't practice so much. I leave the oboe there. And literally, I need to explain to him, Brit, what are you doing? And he came to me once, said, Brit, come here. And this in the military. I was a soldier at them. He was already a major sergeant. So he took me apart and he said, Brito, like this, what are you doing? If I was your dad, I will give you such a... What are you doing in your life? Now you go to join this kind of bunch of he called those, they call like a sect. What are you doing, destroying your career? You are crazy. I don't let you go anymore there. My friend, in these moments, we need to decide what to do. And I knew my responsibility, and I went to God and said, God, I will keep my promise, and you will keep your promise. I will put you first, but when I need to play, I will never fail. My friend, it's time for the Christians to stay for what you believe. And I continue that. And he stopped almost talking with me. But every time I play more, better and better. Praise God for that. And the other musicians come to us, even when sometimes he was next to me, and say, hey, Brito, congratulations. You are playing so well. It's like you look like your teacher. And he was next to me. God honors. Without we need to. And one day, a few years later, we have this concert in Portugal for the television once a year. We invite the president and the prime minister. And it's a very, because it's live for the country, they for the television. And I was not supposed to play the solos. He was the one who was the soloist. And when we don't play solo, we go so relaxed for the concert. Oh, it's so nice. No nerves, nothing. But 3 days before the concert, he had a stroke. Not too strong, because he could attend the concert, but he could not play. And they called me and said, Brito, you need to prepare in these few days because he cannot play. And there were so many solos from these symphonies. And very beautiful solos, but very responsibility. Wow, it's like I was like dying in panic. I prepare, and when the concert came, literally, I play better than before, than any ever. And you know, when the break came, we were going down, and my teacher, he came from the auditorium, and he was waiting for me in the backstage downstairs, and I was going down, and he was there with tears in his eyes. I don't know what I feel emotional. I don't know, but and he was waiting for me, and he gave me a hug, and he said, "Brito, you play wonderfully." And you know, he never again he mocked with me about God, and he became one of my best friends. Why? Because when we stand, my friend, if we put God first and we give the time, God is waiting. I could not emphasize too much this first point. Spend time with God. The devil is working hard. He brings every kind of distractions every day. And we go, if you don't have time with God in the morning, don't come to tell me that you have good time, quality time, afternoon or night. Forget it. When we pray at night, it's because our conscience, we just pray 5 minutes and we think, God, it's done. My friend, if we want to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, God is the God who works for those who wait on Him. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Last Sunday, I preached in Surambana a message called, Stay for a Little While. Stay in His presence for a little while. Where are you going? What's the rush? My friend, today in the church, sorry to say this, I know nothing about your life, but we are in the same boat. We go for better and better cars, better and better houses, better and better universities. My friend, there's nothing wrong with that. My kids, they are, my son just is in the Sheffield University. He goes to Korea to have Asian studies. My daughter also in UK. She finished now the course in the college. There's nothing wrong with that. But the question is, what is our priority? Praise God. I go to the second point. It's already 11:40. Second point, convenience or conviction. First point is our time busy or fruitful. Second point, convenience or conviction. Please open one verse, John chapter 12. I will finish, I'm a military, I will finish at 12. I hope. Okay, John chapter 12. I will read from the New Living Translation. It says like this. Many people did believe in Him, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue because they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. This is so clear. Don't need to explanation. That's the stage of the church today in general. We believe in God. If I come to you and say, do you believe in the entire Bible? Yes, I believe in the entire Bible. It's the Word of God. But from believing that we say we believe, until that moment where we are able to just in every circumstances to really do what we say we believe, my friend, is the longest journey of all. I have another phrase I wrote here. It says like this. Opinion is something that you hold. Conviction is something that holds you. That holds you. Opinion is something that you will argue about. Conviction is something you will suffer and, if necessary, die for. Do you believe this? I will share a very sad story, but it was a true story because it can happen anywhere, anytime. We will face now the greatest persecution of the church in history. Now, every 4 seconds, one Christian is killed in the world. But we are in this, praise God, for this protection, blessing in this country, my friend. But one day, our convictions, every day, can be tested. And what is inside will come out. One day in South America, I think it was Colombia, I'm not sure. If someone knows, this story is quite popular. There was a church, maybe like this church. People were there with kids. And suddenly a group of terrorists entered the church with guns. And they came in front. They stopped the pastor. And they just said that. Those of you who believe that your Christ can save you from our guns, go to that side. Those of you who do not believe that God can save you from our guns, go to that side. Most of the people, they went to the side that they don't believe that God can save them from the guns. Imagine, this is with kids, with you. And they turned the guns to those who said, I don't believe. And they killed them all. And they go to the others who said, we believe. And you know what they said? They said, we won't kill you. Because the world needs people with your convictions. This is a sad story, very sad story, but there's a teaching in this, my friend. Every moment we will be tested outside, in front of the public opinion, to afraid of losing our reputation. We every day, I'm not talking about these very sad situations, I hope we never happen to us, but every day outside in our jobs, among our friends, we are tested. What we really are, our convictions. I will share two stories maybe about this, also in the military I had. One day, I was already a first sergeant, and I was in charge of the building. And maybe 4 p.m., I was alone with my chief. He was the major. And he called me. This is the military. In military, you don't have opinions. You just obey orders. I'm not supposed never to come to my commander and say, he give me an order, and I came to him and say, my major, but I think it's better to do that way. We never do this. Never even cross our mind. And I'm there, and he called me to the office, and he said, Brito, if this person call, you will say I'm not around. And this is automatically. He said, you can dismiss. And I just do this. I turn and I go. But immediately, you have the mind like me. Immediately, I'm obeying others. Immediately, the spirit start to talk with us. What are you going to do? Are you going to lie? And our mind is in these seconds, my friend. Keep this. Everything happens in 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. If you give more time to your natural mind, forget it. It's done. You won't obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the natural mind is so an oiled machine, it will convince you to not obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm in this fight. I just leave the office and I'm just in this fight. What are you going to do? Are you going to lie? And my mind starts to say, never mind. He is your boss. He is your commander. You just obey orders. You are in the military. The second option is, you go to a corner and you pray, God, please don't let this person call today. Or, we know exactly what we should do. There's no options. And I just decide to do what must be done. I go again to the office and say, my major, what, Preet, what do you want? Excuse me, but I won't obey that order. What? What order? That order. You gave me an order to lie. I won't lie. My friend, he was blank. He was like, my friend, but you know what? When you stand for what is right, don't let your mind try to figure out the whole picture. Because God only give you one order. Do this. Only one, but we need to, our natural mind want to understand everything. That's our problem. But when we obey, and he was looking at me, and he said, okay, Brito, you are right. You can go. And you know what? When we do these kind of things, it's like foundations. People won't look at you the same way, and they start to respect you. Another time I was to buy a car. I went to buy a car. And I bought the car, I filled the form to get a loan from the bank, I gave to the seller, I went home. Next day he called me and he said, Brito, Mr. Brito, I want to talk with you because I guess no problem without the form, but there's a small question here. When they ask the value of your house, you put 100,000 euros. This is an example. 100,000 euros. But I calculate, if you put the value of your house, 150,000 euros, I assure you, you get the loan from the bank. And you know what? I'm just trying to help you. They'll never check. And you know what? You don't even know the exact value of your house. It looks so convenient. Everything is so convenient. And I was about to say, okay, Mr. Miguel, go ahead. But immediately, in those seconds, my friend, that's where God wants to test your honesty and truth. And the Holy Spirit continues to, what are you going to do? That's not the value of your house. And suddenly, I found myself saying, no! And the phone. And what? Mr. Brito, what? You didn't understand what I said. I understand very well, Mr. Miguel. And I said, if I cannot have my car, to tell the truth, I don't want my car. He was offended at me. I cannot. What? I don't understand. What are you talking about? I never found someone like you. I don't. I'm sorry. I just want to help. And I, okay, we put the phone down. I got my car. No problem at all to have my car. But it's not the end of the story. 1 month later, he called me again. And he said, Mr. Brito, you know what? I told your story to my friends. I didn't know what he was talking about. What story, Mr. Miguel? That story. It looks like a kid. That story. That you didn't allow me to lie in a so small detail. And I told to my friends. And they, what, they want to invite you for a lunch. Wow. Oh, really? And immediately, I understood what God now is planning. And he said to me, and I said, why they want to invite me to, for a lunch? They don't know me. And he said that, because they don't believe you are for real. And now I go, and God planned it for 10 people who were there. And now the ball is on my court. And I preach the gospel for 2 hours from Genesis to Revelation. And they cannot run away from the table. Another one. I don't know if you will allow me to share. Because I guess it helps. Because all of us, we have these things happening. One day I was going to a concert. And they know now that I'm a Christian. I'm alone. No one. After that, another person came. My brother came. And we, in total, we were 3 born-again Christians. But now I'm alone. And they can be very wicked with dirty jokes. Only men. There's no women in that orchestra. You can imagine. Very wicked, very dirty jokes about women, about God. And they smoke at the time in the bus. It's like a... And I'm already like boiling with that kind of things. And now this is exactly how it happened. The bus stop in Lisbon is a traffic jam, and there's many cars. And the guy was in front of me, looked down, and it was a lady driving a car with a miniskirt. And he just called all the others to come to see. Men can be very stupid sometimes. And now a guy come to me. I mean, I'm in the window. Of course, I want to look. I'm 20 years old, but... But you know what I mean. And he come to me and he does like this. Brito, look there. Don't look fake. Look there. And you know what? You know exactly these moments. You have... You need to decide in these moments who you are. And this start to boil. Of course, I could easily look and smile and just to not offend anyone. Just, but in 2 seconds, I decide just to stop. Don't do that to me. And it creates immediately something uncomfortable there. But they continue to be very wicked. And we continue. And in maybe 1 hour later, I was sit there, imagine. And a guy is sitting like this here in front of me. And he is talking to all the others, knowing I'm here, but he does not look at me. And suddenly he said like this, hey, Brito! Not looking at me, but all the others stopped to listen. Hey, now we know that you are very holy. You go to this kind of religion. Pity of you. And they are like, start to mock with me. Now you cannot have fun with girls. My friend, I was already boiling. You know what? When this kind of boiling comes, it's not from the devil. It's not from the flesh. It's from the Holy Spirit to defend the truth. You don't need to be rude. You don't need to offend anyone. You just need to defend what you believe. To act with conviction. Not let your natural mind tell you what my boss will do me. No, just do it. Defend the truth. And I just stood up. Imagine Pastor Jeremy now is there. I just point his finger like this in his face. And this higher rank than me. And I was really furious. And I say, Bandeira, you will never again. You talk to me about my God like that. Never again. It was a dead silence in that bus. We could listen a fly. Everyone goes to their place. They sit. The conversation is over. And now I'm like this. I do not know what will happen next. It doesn't care. But you know, maybe half an hour, he came to me. He sit next to me. I didn't look at him. And he said to me, Brito, I want to apologize. So sorry for what I did to you. But you know what? I did that because inside I admire you. I don't know how can you stand for a conviction like that. This is what happens, my friend. Every day we have these opportunities to stand. Live by conviction. Don't need to be rude. the world is passionately defend what they believe. Why not can we not defend what we believe with the same passion? Why we go to their side? Instead, they come to our side. Hallelujah. Third point, and I will finish in 5 minutes, I hope. Good ideas are God's idea. It's about our minds. Good ideas, my friend, the devil will never defeat us, Christians, with bad ideas. You go outside, you go around, there's a shop of cell phones. There's no one there. Oh, no one here. And the devil come to your mind and said, let's steal that cell phone. You need that cell phone. No, it's too stupid. We don't fall in these things. But the devil can deceive us every day with good ideas. Because good ideas go in line what the world expects from us. Look at this. Follow the natural mind. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not trust in your own understanding. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, 23 is my last verse. Moses was talking to the people of Israel. And God already told, you can see this in at home. This is an amazing passage. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. You can read the whole chapter. And Moses is addressing the people, probably the leaders, and he's saying like this, you know, God told us only this, go and conquer. Only two words, go and conquer. My friend, when God says yes, don't go for a second opinion. That's our problem. If God says no, don't go for a second opinion. It's enough, like Pastor Raymond says, it's done. When the Holy Spirit talks, it's done. And Moses said, you know, God said, go and conquer the land. But you all came to me and you said, follow me. Moses, you know what? You know, we know God already said to conquer the land. We believe the land is ours. But it came to our mind this. We suggest this to you. Why don't we send some scouts to spy the land? They will give us a clear idea the size of the walls, the best way to take. It will be easier for us to have more information to conquer the land. That's our problem, my friends. And you know what Moses said? And Moses was someone who said that prayer that Pastor Raymond said in the beginning. Exodus 33, verse 12 to 18 is my favorite, one of my favorite verses. God, if you'd not go personally with us, don't let us leave this place. And Moses knew God face to face. But some moments, my friends, we are not in the spirit. And we fall in the trap of good ideas. Moses said in verse 23, if I'm not mistaken, he said, you came to me and it seemed to me a good idea. New Living Translation. And I sent the scouts. And you know what? This good idea was the greatest disaster in Israel history. Why? Because Moses was not satisfied only what God said. Go and conquer. My friend, keep this word. We can do exploits in this island. This church, I'm not saying this because I'm in this church. I came last year, I'm here this year, and it's something different. You are looking for the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, the power. Wait for the power. You are already doctorate in the Word. Look the presence of God, the power of God. I finish with only this example, and it's 12. When I went to the course to first sergeant to major sergeant, was 2004. And we were 17 from the orchestra to go to this course. But I'm the only born-again Christian, and I remember I was like thinking, I don't want to go. I am tired. I don't want to be with them 3 months, morning, afternoon, having lunch with them. I was not feeling, oh my goodness, I feel so alone there. I don't have patience for this. But somehow the Holy Spirit said, go. This is good for you. Go, go. And I went. It was for my career too. The first class, we sit, and by mistake, now I don't know, I know it's not by mistake, I sit in the chair of the chief of the class, but I was not the chief of the class. I don't know why. I sit in the first. And the first class was ethic or morals, and they invite a priest from the Catholic Church. They give them a rank of major, and they teach. But let me please tell you this, and I'm not against, but in Europe, in Portugal, Catholic is different from Asia. They are completely in darkness, and I say this openly. I came from a Catholic family, and I was atheist. It's really dark. There's no spirit. There's nothing. In fact, they say 95% of Portuguese are Catholic, but it's just why when we were born, they put some water in your head, and forever you are Catholic, whatever you do in your life. So it's very secular, the society there. And the priests come, and normally they are really a bit hostile to the newborn Christians. And he was in front of me. They were like talking about soccer, Benfica, Porto. It was to break the ice. And suddenly, the priest, the major said, "Hey, okay, guys, I want each one of you to say something about you." And this is exactly what happened. When he said that, he turned to me. I'm in front of him. And he looked to my name and said, "First Sergeant Brito, can you say something about you?" In that moment, the Holy Spirit come and say, "You will present yourself not with your academical credentials. Present yourself spiritually, my friend." It was war in my mind. You can imagine what it is. It's only a thought, but if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know it's God. Only God tells you to do crazy things like this. It's never your flesh. And he's looking at me. He's waiting for an answer. And I'm looking at him, but I'm not seeing him. My mind is, "Don't say anything. It's not the right place. Don't you?" You know our mind. And suddenly I just look into his eyes. You know, we need this boldness. Just do it. If you die, you die. Like said Queen Esther. Perhaps for a time like this, we were born. If you die, you die. I look at him and say, "My major, I am a pastor. I am a preacher of the word of God, my friend." That silence was like a bomb. This is true. He was this distant from me. He did this. And he composed. The other friends, I could not look back, but I could sense the atmosphere. They were like, "What? What did he say? What did he say? And the major, this is a military, he just came in front and he said, "First Sergeant Brito, definitely we will have interesting classes here." And I was shaking again. Now everyone present themselves, but now they do not know what to say because they don't have spiritual credentials. So the environment became very, very awkward, you know. Anyway, you know what? We were supposed to have 10 hours of morals and ethics. This is true before God. We didn't touch the topic morals or ethics. I brought my Bible just in case, and he was so eager to provoke me that we spent 10 hours discussing about the Bible. I opened the Bible. My 17 colleagues were there. They listened to the gospel for 10 hours, and they could not run away from the class. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I finish here. I just want to keep this. Even I know it's fun, but you understand the message, my friend. Everything falls on these 3 to 5 seconds. Today you go outside, and the Holy Spirit will be with you. And if you follow the first point, is the most important. If you do not follow the first point, if you continue to be busy with your life first, you know what? The priorities is not things are seen in itself. To desire for a better house. To desire for a better car. I love cars. I don't have any one now, but I love cars. But, of course, there's nothing wrong to dress well. There's nothing wrong to desire your kids to go to have a good future. There's not the problem. But what is in here, in the pinnacle of the priority? To desire those things can be down the pyramid. There's nothing wrong. But on top, only Jesus. Only time with Him. After that, everything falls in place. Amen. Can you stand up, please? I just want to finish with a prayer. If I can have some just music to just to recommend again my book, if you remember to, you want to. Hallelujah. I just want to finish with a prayer. And because more than to go to a church or go to another service, another program, I tell you sincerely, my friends, I'm tired of another service, another program, another church meeting, another motivational speech. We need the presence of God. We need to preach the word with love. You know, as sometimes we can be very convicted preaching, but we mix the word with love. This church has love for evangelism. My friend, if you follow the first point, the others is important, but the first point, be fruitful. Wait upon the Lord. I just came from Portugal. I shared this last Sunday, just to explain. And I like to go to, near Spain, is a small village. So small that I walk 100 meters. My kids know what I'm talking about. I walk 100 meters and I'm outside the village among the hills. Only pines and I'm alone there. I can't scream out. No one listen to me. I love to go there. My favorite place to go every morning. And one day I was just praying. And I was already like automatically go home. And literally, I was going home and I heard a voice like saying, "Where are you going? What's the rush? Stay with me for a little while." My friend, stay with God for a little while. Tomorrow morning, keep this message. Not because of me, keep the message. Develop this great joy again to run to your secret closet, to be alone with God. Just be there. Sing a song to Him. And you will see God is waiting, is missing this time with us. And when we come to church, it's not another service. We run to be on time. Today in Malaysia, 70% of the churches, people are late. People, 70% are late to the service. I'm not accusing anyone. We are losing the fear of the Lord. Jesus in Revelation, one of the letters to one of the churches, Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 19. You know what he says, but in the end he said, "Repent from your indifference." The sin of indifference. We arrive late. We don't care. I saw churches that the musicians, they just after they worship, they don't listen to the word. They are more special than the preach anything. And they spend all time playing games and sending messages, seeing Facebook. My friend, let's recapture the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God's presence. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we are in your presence. God, we are in your presence. God, first of all, I want to ask forgiveness for our ridiculous excuses to do not have time, quality time with you. God, forgive our busy, busy lives, Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy when we worship you with our mouth, but our hearts are far away from you. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful. Help us to be fruitful, Lord. Help us to please you in everything we do, wherever we go. The time is so short. God, help us to be wise with our time. God, help us to live by conviction, Lord. Help us to please you more than people. Help us not to fall into the pressure of public opinion, Lord. Help us to stand. Help us to look straight to the eyes of the people and defend the truth with love. Tell the truth with love. But tell them the truth. God, help us in our mind, like it was read today by Brother Jeremy about Romans 12, 1 and 2. We want to be changed by the Word. Feed our mind with your Word to experience what is the perfect will of God. We want to love your Word like never before. We want to stay in your presence longer and longer, Lord. That we can follow God's idea, not good ideas. Hallelujah, Lord. And as we leave this place, I believe we are not the same. We are different. We will do something about this world. Your fire come upon your church, Lord. We are waiting for your fire, your presence, to to switch our priorities, to put in line our priorities in life, oh Lord. We need, Lord. Don't let us be religious people. Don't let us go to church just in case the Bible is true. Just in case heaven is real. We want to have a powerful experience, personal experience with you, Holy Spirit. God, revive us again. Revive us again, first of all, our private prayer with you. Our private devotional time with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please, and every one of you, we say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you all. It was a blessing for me to be here. Praise God. Penang belongs to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Let's just respond to God, okay? Okay, let's just sing this song. Okay? Let's just stick a bit longer, all right? I just feel that we just need to just press in, all right? This is my desire to honor you. Ask you, Lord, please grace us with your holy presence, Lord. If your presence doesn't go with us, oh God, we cannot do anything. God, we want your nearness every day. We want your fellowship every day, Lord. So, Lord, help us to obey your Holy Spirit, to walk in your ways, oh God. And help us, Lord, because we cannot do it in our own strength. We can only walk, oh God, as you lead us, as you draw us, oh God. So, Lord, we pray that you will do that, Lord. And as we wait on you, God, we know that you will speak. We know that you will move. We commit our lives to you, Father. Let your favor just rest on us, Lord. We pray, we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name.